Let's just again pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the blessed hope that we have through faith in him. But Father, as we turn to your word now, we pray your blessing to be upon us for your instruction from your word. And our Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to grow in our way, to be a people who walk by faith and not by sight, or God, as we live in this world. So, Father, we pray that you'll bless every thought, every word that is said, and it'll be used for your honor and for your glory. And it's in our Savior's name we pray. Amen. I'm sure this evening, all of us, or many of us, I say, if not all of us, we're familiar with the words of Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. We might not think immediately of it, really, as soon as I quoted Romans 1:17, but I'm sure we're familiar with the words of it, which simply says, the just shall live by faith. And we see this is something, again, that is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, where Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And really, as I think of these words this evening, as I think of really what is the central theme in these two verses, I wonder this evening, have we stopped to ask ourselves the question, well, how do we walk by faith? See, that's the exhortation, the instruction that is found to us in the Word of God. And say, not only in Romans 1 and 17 and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we find it in so many other places in the Word of God. Indeed, the great chapter concerning faith is Hebrews chapter 11, where when you go through that chapter, what you find time and time again is the simple phrase, by faith, by faith, by faith. And really what it means are people who went into the future trusting in God and for God to work. And what we need to remember about these people, especially who are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, is that often whenever they lived by faith, it was a case of standing alone, being the only one who was trusting in God. I say that's something I think is amazing, as I say, in their days, because what we need to remember for so many of them is that they didn't have the Word of God to turn to. They didn't live in an environment that we live in where there's so many other Christians around us and people to support us, people to encourage us, people to help us to live by faith. But see, they lived in days where often they were the only follower of God. The other thing that I find quite interesting about them all is that in every case it was never having seen God do what they wanted beforehand, which I think is amazing whenever you think about it. You read through Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. Every single situation that we read that people live by faith, they never saw that incident happen before. They couldn't refer back to something else and say, well, I saw God do this 10 years ago, or I saw God do this 20 years ago, or I remember my father telling me this, or my grandfather telling me this, and God did exactly the same thing. No. In every situation, to say it was an entirely new situation. And really, most often about them all, it was not having a clue as to how, in fact, God would work in their situation. And yet, what is it we read? They were people who lived by faith. And really, that's the exhortation for us this evening as we turn to the Word of God. And really, whenever we read here in Exodus chapter 14, that's what it's all about. I read from Hebrews 11 and verse 29. And what is it that's said there about Exodus 14, about the children of Israel going through the Red Sea, coming out the other side? It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. They weren't like the animal, the impala, which is a type of deer. I'm not into all of that, and I don't know what part of the world you would find the impala in. I don't know where they live, where their natural habitat is, but what I was to learn some time ago about the impala is that, they're famous for being able to jump in great heights and a great length. In fact, I remember one day looking on YouTube to see exactly what they do, and there was a video showing them where they just are able to jump probably the full width of this church. But I heard about a case where there were impala that were put into a zoo. And the amazing thing about the impala in this particular zoo was that none of them ever broke out. They were able to, the impala are able to jump great heights and maybe jump high. Well, watching them on video, they were able to go higher than most of us, who were well over 6 feet high and able to go, say, a great length. And yet in the zoo, the amazing thing was that they were put into an enclosure that all around them was a wall that was only 3 feet high. And yet the amazing thing was that not one of them ever escaped. The reason for that was that the impala, they will only jump if they can see where they're going to land. And the 3 feet high wall was just above their head height. So the impala, as they lived in this enclosure, they could never see what was out on the other side of the wall. And therefore, as a result of it, not one of them ever tried to escape, ever tried to jump the wall and do what it actually naturally does, say jump in great heights and jump in great lengths. And yet, as I thought about that, I thought about us in our Christian lives, that we're exhorted to live by faith. Is it tonight that maybe we're like the impala that is in that enclosure? That often we're afraid to go further on with God or to go on with God. Why? Because we can't see, as it were, where we're going to land. Faith in action is just simply what I entitled Exodus chapter 14, and really just asking the question, well, how do we walk by faith? Five things I just want to draw out of this. I'll do it very quickly. I see time marching on, but five things I just want you to notice with me as we go through this chapter, and you can follow it up and study it in more detail. But for the person who walks by faith, well, what we see is that, first of all, they walk with God. The person who walks by faith walks with God. In fact, we don't see it here in Exodus 14. Well, we do see it here, but actually it's something that takes us right back to Exodus chapter 3 and the chapters that follow on from that. Because really what we see in those chapters is Moses walking with God. And that was something that was absolutely key. This is the all-important starting point. And we know it all started there at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, where God spoke to Moses. Moses, we know, had, as I say, he had been out living in the wilderness for 40 years. And that was really a training ground for Moses and what God was preparing him for as he would bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And yet what we see is that from that experience in Exodus chapter 3 is Moses continually in communion with God. Moses continually talking to God, asking God questions. We know sometimes he certainly questioned God. He certainly questioned what God told him that he was going to do. But what we see is that yet he was a man who walked with God. And the simple thing is that we will only learn about God and hear from God whenever we do what? Whenever we walk with him on a daily basis. Fellowship with God is absolutely essential. And sometimes we can look at people and we can say, oh, there's somebody and what a great person of faith they are. But I would say that if you really dug deeper, what you'd find is a person who's daily at the throne of grace. The throne of grace and prayer and in God's word and the study in God's word, learning what? Learning who God is and what he is all about. That's something we see about Moses, and say this is something really that is key to living by faith. And to say, maybe tonight you're somebody and you're thinking, you're saying, and indeed it should be the desire of our hearts that we want to be somebody who is able to live by faith, who walks by faith, who is able to put faith into action. And you've been asking the question, well, how is it possible? Realize it's possible by spending time with God and his word, walking with him. I don't know if you remember back, maybe it's 10 years, maybe it's 15 years ago. But I don't know if you remember the adverts on television encouraging people to get out and enjoy the fresh air, get a bit of exercise. And the slogan that was used here in Northern Ireland was, go walking. I wonder this evening, is that what we need to do? Maybe we're somebody and we haven't been in God's Word. We haven't been walking with God as we ought to have been. And maybe this evening what God is saying to us, come walk with me. Come walk with me and learn who I am. Learn all about me and indeed set that foundation that you're able to live by faith. So say faith in action. Well, how do we do it? Well, that we walk with God. But then faith in action, what we see also, and this really brings us to Exodus 14, is that faith in action waits on God. It waits on God. And I know it may be talking about faith in action, actually. And action, obviously, is the word that is talking about doing something, but we have to wait sometimes. And that's what we see with regards to Moses. And this is probably the hardest part of it all, especially when we are a people who want everything immediately. It's not the day and age we're living in. Everything is instant. We always want things immediately. And I can remember one of the guys that works with me, he used to work part-time in car phone warehouse and selling mobile phones and all. And I remember a couple of years ago and my phone contract was up and I was talking to him about it and he says, oh, Alan, he says, you need to get this particular phone. And this was back in the days when 4G had just come out. I hadn't a clue what 4G was, and I probably still don't have a clue. But I was on a phone that had 3G. And he says, oh, he says, don't get a phone with 3G. Make sure it's 4G, because he said it's so much quicker. But the reality is, when you sit down and you look at it and probably test it one against the other, it maybe was point something off a second quicker. We want things immediately. But yet sometimes God, what is it he wants us to do? He wants us to wait upon him. Exodus 14 verses 10 to 12. Verse 10 was, we read, it says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Picture the scene. Here they are, children of Israel. They're hemmed in. The Red Sea in front of them. I believe it was mountains to either side of them. All behind them, what is it they heard? The Egyptian army coming, closing in on them. And they're complaining to Moses. And yet, what is it we see Moses' response to it all was? Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. See, for the children of Israel, it looked like defeat. They looked to be in real trouble. They wanted to return to Egypt, and yet, how lovely. How lovely that Moses was able to stand up and he said to them, stand still. In other words, wait on God. Let's wait on God. The enemy may seem to be closing in. And yet the person who lives by faith, what is it they do? They wait on God and they let God do his work. Maybe tonight you're in a situation, nobody else knows about it. Maybe you find yourself in a situation where it just seems that everything's closing in on you. You feel like you're at the Red Sea. The sea's in front of you and, well, you can't swim. There's no boats to get you across. The mountains either side of you and, well, you're not able to scale the mountains and say all behind you. It just seems like the enemy is coming in and you're wondering, what do I do? What is it Moses said? Stand still and see the salvation of your God. But yet, is it not that so often, whenever we're in that situation, we're trying to be still, we're trying to wait, a few minutes can seem like hours, not right? It can seem like an eternity. But even if we find ourselves in that situation, keep your eyes fixed upon God. The fortunate thing for Moses was that he didn't have to wait too long to see God at work. He saw God at work that very day. But yet, as I say, maybe if we have to wait longer, oh, that we keep waiting and keep waiting and let the Lord do his work. That's something we saw a number of years ago. There's some of you who have heard this story, and just go back over it again, because it just brings such a blessing to us. And I think of ourselves as an organization. Whenever we bought the building that we now have in Ahuckle. And I can remember it was January 2013, end of January, and Stephen, who runs Coaching for Christ, felt the Lord lay it on his heart that we should buy the building that we were renting part of it off, and belonged to Christians, and the rest of the building had been previously used as a youth center and so forth, and Stephen felt the Lord lay it on his heart that we should buy the building. And the only thing was, whenever he felt the Lord lay this on his heart, number one, the building wasn't for sale, and number two, we didn't have the money. And that was the end of January 2013, but yet on the 1st of September 2013, we got the keys for the building. Now, the price was agreed as to what we would pay for the building. We are still paying it off. But what the previous owners had said to us was that we keep the bank out of it and that we pay them off in an installment. All sounded good until they said to our directors, well, the one thing we would like is that your first installment is really like a down payment, and it'll be £100,000. And that was, say, in the summer of 2013. And they said to us, if that £100,000 could be paid by the end of March 2014. It seemed a long way away. And we thought, great. Well, we got the keys to the building. We started to do a lot of work to it. We prayed that the Lord would provide. We prayed that the Lord would touch hearts and the money would come in. We watched the postman every day, waiting to see these checks coming in, and the Lord touching hearts of his people and sending in donations, maybe £50, maybe £500, and so forth. And we prayed for that right throughout all of the winter of 2013 and 14. And we were right into March. And in fact, we came to the very last Sunday in March. And the deadline was on the Friday just after that. And we came to the last Sunday. Amazing thing was, there was not one donation that came in for that building in the whole time. Not one donation. We had a charity shop in Ballymena. We some money saved from that towards it, but we were well, well short of the 100,000. But yet, Stephen would tell you, he did have his moments of doubt, but still kept going back to the Lord and saying, telling the Lord that he believed that what we did was in obedience to the Lord and agreeing to purchase that building. Amazing thing was, on that Sunday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he got a phone call to go to somebody's house. Don't know who it was, but somebody that he knew. People says, come round and see us. Stephen says, I'll come round in a couple of weeks' time. He says, I'm going off to a conference in America. Whenever I'm back, people says, no, please come and see us now. Stephen went round. Him and his wife, Alison. People just got straight to it and said, well, says, the reason we have you here is because the money that you need to make it up to the £100,000, we're going to give it to you today. Stephen sat there in total amazement, and he just, after a few moments, they said to him, Stephen, you're not going to say anything. He says, I want to ask you a question. Why? Why are you doing this? He says, number one, you're not in the organization. He says, number two, he says, nobody has ever mentioned the money to you that we know of. He says, why are you doing this? And they said, so very simple. They said, 3 weeks prior to this, the Lord laid it on our hearts that we were to give the money that was needed. You see, wait on God. Whenever Stephen brought us together on the Monday morning to tell us about it, he actually started to talk about Coaching for Christ and how the Lord was leading. I actually thought to myself, has he made a mistake? Or has he done something that he now regrets? Maybe done something else to try and get this 100,000. But yet what he saw was somebody who waited on God and saw the Lord provide. Stand still, said Moses, and see the salvation of the Lord. Walking by faith. Faith in action walks with God. It waits on God. But then what we also see, and it's not a contradiction here, faith in action works with God. We also are to work with God. That's what we see with regards to Moses here. Look at verses 15 and 16 in Exodus 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Verses 21 and 22. And Moses, what did he do? Remember, he had said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of our God. But then God instructed him what to do. And verse 21 says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And then, whenever the children of Israel had gone through, verses 26 and 27, you see it again. See what God did. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. See how Moses worked with God. Moses did exactly as the Lord commanded him. William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, said these words many years ago. He says, faith and works should travel side by side, step answering to step, like the legs of men walking. First faith and then works, and then faith again, and then works again, until they can scarcely distinguish which is the one and which is the other. You see, there are many times, yes, we're to wait, but there are times that we have to work. Work with God, do what God commands us to do, because you see, the reality is this, unless we do what God commands us to do, nothing will happen. You imagine Moses standing there at the Red Sea. He said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of God. He waited on God. But then when God said, well, here's what I want you to do, if Moses hadn't have done it, the children of Israel would have perished, no doubt. They would have been attacked. Many of them would have died, if not all of them. But yet when Moses did what God commanded him to do, you see, so often it's whenever we wait upon God, what is it we're doing? We're being silent, we're being still. And it's then that so easily we can hear the voice of God, which will speak into our situation and tell us what the next step in the journey is. That's what Moses did. He worked with God. Whenever he worked with God, well, he saw God do what? He saw God do a mighty work. Because you see, faith in action walks with God, waits on God, works with God, and then fourthly, watches God. Isn't that the great part of the story as we see the Lord doing a mighty work? Verse 29, the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What's the word that stands out there? The people saw. They saw. You see, they walked with God. They waited upon God. They worked with God. And you see, whenever they did all that, it was then that they were able to see God at work in a mighty way. Perhaps this evening you're facing a situation. You don't know how you're going to get through it. You're wondering about it all. Can I ask you this evening, are you walking with God? Have you been waiting upon him? Are you seeking to work with God, doing what he's instructing you to do in his word? You see, when you do all that, what is it he does? He does a work that only he can do. I love what somebody has said when it comes to the works of God. What is God able to do? Well, he's able to make a mess a message. He's able to make a test a testimony. And he's able to make a trial a triumph. You see, that's the great God that we serve. He's able to make a mess a message. And I'm sure many people have a message to share tonight of the mess that they had in their life. But when they let God work, well, it's now a message to tell of the glory of God. Mess a message, a test, a testimony, and a trial. And well, now they talk about the triumph because of what our wonderful God has done. Faith in action, say, walks with God, waits on God, works with God, watches God. And well, you can read chapter 15 and you'll see finally faith in action worships God. Because that's what chapter 15 is, a song of praise. Praise unto God for what he did for the children of Israel, for how he brought them out of bondage, how he delivered them. And to say they were a people, thankfully, and especially Moses, to say were a people who did what? Took time to praise God. And oh, if we've seen God work in our situations, may we make sure we do that, that we take time to praise him, to acknowledge his greatness, and to give him all the glory and all the honor. That's what I see in chapter 15. See, there's no mention of Moses saying, look what I did. Look how I stretched out my hand. Oh, no, no. What we see is that in his song of praise, it was all glory and all honor unto the true and living God. The just shall live by faith. May indeed we be a people that as we live by faith, not by sight, we walk with God. We wait on him. We work with him. Then we watch him. And then after all of that, we praise him, worship him, for he alone is worthy the praise and the glory. We're going to indeed finish off with our hymn of praise.